"Is that the last of it, Robert?" the Earl of Corus asked, watching as Robert's sea blanket finished closing and strapping up one final trunk.
"It is, my lord."
Sea Blanket rested one hand on the trunk as he turned to meet his employer's gaze, and although his tone was as matter-of-fact as ever, it would have taken someone far stupider and less observant than Philip Osgood to miss the relief in his valet's eyes.
"In that case, let's get them down to Hornet."
Corus smiled without a great deal of humor, but with a degree of relief which was even greater than Sea Blanket's.
"Father Hollis is expecting us, and I'd prefer not to disappoint him by being late."
"No, my lord,"
Sea Blanket agreed fervently.
"I'll have them aboard within the hour."
"Good, Robert, good."
Corus patted his valet on the shoulder, then turned and walked across to stand gazing out through his window across the city of Zion.
"God, I can't wait to get back across the lake."
He shook his head.
"I thought on my way here that things couldn't get a whole hell of a lot worse. How little did I know."
His own meetings with Zomson Trenaire and Jaspar Clinton had been bad enough. He'd come to the conclusion he'd actually underestimated Clinton's cynicism and ruthlessness. Frankly, he wouldn't have believed Clinton could be even more ruthless and calculating than he'd initially assumed, but he'd learned better. And if he might somehow have managed to cling to any tiny fragment of an illusion in that regard, Clinton's vicious purge of any opposition within the vicarate would have disabused him of it. Corus folded his hands behind him, gripping them tightly together. He'd never actually met Samuel or Howard Wilson, but he had met Vicar Caian Hyson of the Harching Hysons, and anyone less like a ravening heretic who molested little girls would have been impossible to imagine. Yet those were the crimes of which Hyson stood accused, and to which, according to the shocked and stunned inquisitors, he had already confessed. There was no doubt in Corus's mind that Hyson's true crime, just like the true crime of everyone else who had been arrested or killed resisting arrest, or simply died under mysterious circumstances in the last 3 5 days, had been to oppose, or threaten to oppose, or even to remotely seem to oppose, the group of four. There did appear to be at least some genuine evidence of clandestine activities on Hyson's part. Corus had to admit that much. But even though he'd been unable to establish anything like the sort of intelligence network he could have put together elsewhere under more favorable circumstances, he'd managed to get at least a few feelers threaded through the temple and the city. And those feelers all agreed, quietly, cautiously, in whispers designed to avoid anyone else's attention, that any secret activities on the part of Hyson and the rest of the vicars and prelates who'd been labeled the Corisian Circle had been directed at the group of four and the rampant abuses within the clergy, not designed to somehow betray the temple and God into the hands of the apostate.
"Of course that's what they were doing," the Earl thought coldly. "The fools. Oh, the fools. How could they?"
He shook his head.
"Be fair to them, Philip. Before this whole business with Corus exploded in everyone's face, opposing Clinton was only insanely risky, not automatically suicidal. They didn't just decide to start doing this the day before yesterday, and Clinton hasn't been licking his chops in anticipation of this moment because he genuinely thinks they had any immediate plans to stage some sort of coup inside the vicarate either. This is just a case of his killing two wyverns with a single stone, and enjoying the hell out of it when he does it."
He closed his eyes for a moment, leaning his forehead against the icy window pane, in a brief silent prayer for the men who were undoubtedly, at that very moment, undergoing the tortures of the damned at the Inquisition's hands. The men who were going to face the same hideous death Eric Dinis had already faced. Unless Clinton could come up with ones which were still worse. and the men whose families had been arrested right along with them.
"You've got to get back to Talkeera,"
he told himself flatly, almost desperately.
"You've got to get back to Iris and Divan."
He shook his head, eyes still closed.
"If Clinton's willing to do this, willing to arrest 1 in 10 of the Vicarate itself and condemn them to death just to secure his own position, then it's for damn sure he'll throw Divan away in a heartbeat."
Corus shook his head. The only member of the group of four who seemed to give a genuine damn about Divan's well-being had been Robert Ducairne. He'd met with the treasurer only twice, yet he hadn't had to meet with him even once. Those meetings, officially to discuss Divan's financial needs and the proper amount of the church subsidy to support his court in exile, had been arranged from Ducairne's side, and it was obvious to Corus that it had been the vicar himself who had done the arranging specifically, so that he and Corus might meet face to face. The Earl appreciated that, although he'd been careful about showing it. He was almost certain, but only almost, unfortunately, that Ducairne's concern for Divan was sincere. It fitted with his own earlier assessments of Ducairne's attitudes, at any rate, and the sorrow hiding behind the vicar's eyes had looked genuine enough. There'd been no way to be positive about that, however, and it had always been possible Ducairne was simply testing Corus's suitability as the group of four's tool in a rather more subtle fashion than would have occurred to Clinton. Walking the tightrope between doing his best for Divan's future interests and maintaining his own persona as a properly corruptible henchman hadn't been the easiest thing Corus had ever done, although a lifelong career as a spy had helped. But however real or feigned Ducairne's concern might have been, there was no doubt at all where the rest of the group of four stood. Corus's present ability to follow the news from Coruscant was limited, especially at such a vast distance, yet his sources here in the temple, fragmentary though they were, all suggested things weren't going outstandingly well for the temple's interests in Coruscant. The tone of his more recent conversations with Trenaire suggested the same thing as well. Although the Chancellor had done his best to downplay any concern he might personally be feeling, the situation in the capital in particular seemed to be tilting towards a genuine accommodation with Caleb and Charlian, or with the Church of Caris at least. And the moment Jaspar Clinton decided the Coruscantian fire needed another kick, that another dastardly Carisian assassination might tilt Manchir back the other way,
"I've got to get back to Talkeera,"